Hey guys, welcome to Unmastering Motherhood. I am your host, Kelly Kaufman, and I'm so glad you're tuning in today. Today is a very exciting episode, something that means a lot to me. And, you know, based on where we are in the country, it's seeming important to a lot of you. So I wanted to do a four-part series on race and motherhood. Today, I'll be interviewing my friend and fellow rockin' mom, Mika Caldwell. Stay tuned, get your notebook out. You're in for a treat. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much. Our audience is growing, and it is because of you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. Just thank you for tuning in whenever an episode drops. I know I haven't been consistent, but guess what? Every time I drop one, you guys are tuning in, and so I'm so thankful for that. Please continue to share. Some of you may have noticed that I do have a podcast page where I will announce new episodes on Instagram. That is at Unmastering Motherhood. But if you want to see my family's day-to-day life, follow us on Instagram at Mom of Three, the number three, Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, and the letter C. Mostly I'm posting in my stories, you know, the shenanigans of all the kids, mom rants, etc. But occasionally I'm posting in the squares as well. I try to do that a couple times a week, but you can catch us on Mom of Three, Kelly C on Instagram in the stories almost daily. I'll also post on Unmastering Motherhood, but it'll be mostly just to let you know that a new episode is coming out. I'm so excited for today's episode. With everything going on in the world, I felt it was only right to talk about it, and especially from a mother's perspective. So stay tuned. Mika Caldwell is an author, wife, mother, and advocate for special needs and for the inclusion of Black and Brown people in the special needs community. Noticing a need for more diversity embracing literature, she set out to write A Friend Like a Nyan, to highlight her Black son with Down syndrome and show how positive community interaction fosters a greater understanding of people with special needs. Trained in human resources, conflict, and negotiation, she brings her passion of people and community into every aspect of her professional career as well. Her and her husband Terry are a blended family and have six children, ranging in ages from 6 to 23. They live in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. She will continue to add to the series of A Friend Like a Nyan and fight for all those with special rights. Welcome back to Unmastering Motherhood. I am so glad you are listening today. I have my guest co-host today, Mika Caldwell. And before we jump into everything, Mika, I would like to play a quick little game with you. Are you down?
Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. You know, us as moms, we're always telling our kids, like, give me one minute. So right. We're going to play a little game. I'm going to see if you can answer these 20 this or that questions in about 1 minute. All right.
20? Okay. All right. 20. All right. I'm going to pretend. Okay. 20.
And listen, I tried this out with my husband, and he did it in less than a minute. So I definitely think you got this. Ready?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Shower in peace or shop in peace?
Shop in peace.
Sleep in or take a nap?
Sleep in.
Cook dinner or do dishes?
Do dishes.
All right. Country life or city life?
Country.
Coke or Pepsi?
Neither.
Are you early or are you usually on time?
Early.
All right. Text or call?
Text.
Flats or heels?
Flats.
Jeans or leggings?
Leggings.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Horror films or chick flicks?
Horror films.
Big wedding, small wedding?
Small weddings.
Cruise or camping?
Cruise.
Facebook or Instagram?
Instagram.
Work hard, play hard.
Play hard.
All right. Candy at a movie, candy or popcorn?
Popcorn.
Pancake or waffle?
Waffles.
All right. In your cabinets, are the cups face down or up?
Up.
All right. And toddlers or teenagers?
Oh, gosh. Is there in between?
We'll let that one slide. We love all the kids.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Mika, you did that. Less than a minute. You did good. All right. Let's just jump into it. First of all, I want to let you guys know that I met Mika because we both share something in common, and that is that we both have sons with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I met her on the World Wide Web on Facebook, and we have been in multiple groups together. Mika is a voice that is definitely prominent in our community. She is always asking questions, answering questions. So I knew I just had to have her on the podcast today. Thank you again, Mika, for agreeing to do this.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So I'm going to be doing a 4-part series on race and motherhood. And a couple of weeks ago on my Instagram, I asked the audience to ask me anything. If they had questions on motherhood, on racism, mm-hmm. you know, everything that's going in the world today. On Instagram, I would get so many questions. So I felt like, you know what, let me just open it up, see what questions I get. And I got over 30 questions. Some I had answered on Instagram, but I was like, you know what, it'll be great to get some other perspectives from other moms, especially Black moms in this time. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through a list of questions that my audience has asked and, you know, just share your experience. But one thing before we get started, everyone always wants to know about our diagnosis story. When we tell them we have a child with Down syndrome, people like to know, you know, kind of the background of that. So if you wouldn't mind, could you tell us about your diagnosis story and more about your family?
Sure. Oh, of course. So we are a blended family. My husband and I, when we met, I had one child, he had two. So there's three already. Okay. And then when we got married, we had three more. So we have 6 total children.
Big family.
Yeah. So they range from 23 all the way down to 6 years old. Wow. And we have basically our 3 littles are in the house. So we have our 9, 8, and 6-year-old in the house. And the bigger ones are, you know, doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And so a 9 who is our son with Down syndrome. He's our youngest. And my story is I was actually about 14, 15 weeks pregnant when we got the diagnosis. And I was used to like going to the geneticist and going to this because of what they say, like advanced maternal age and all these types of things. And I was like, oh, this is routine. Mm-hmm. This is whatever. And then we had some tests done and it's like, oh, well, you know, he has an increased risk for Down syndrome. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do some other tests. Like, it didn't even think that it would be that.
Gotcha.
And so when they finally did, like, they had some other tests, and I actually went for an amnio because they saw some extra stuff, and I was like, okay, let's get it done because I'm a planner. Like, I like to know what's going to happen so I can prepare and so I can know. So when they called me over the phone and I was starting a new job. I was at my job for maybe like 3 weeks when they called me and they just told me over the phone, you know, the test came back positive and your child has Down syndrome. I'm like, what? Like I wasn't expecting it at all. And everything that ran through my mind was just everything I didn't know.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was just, the diagnosis itself was devastating because it didn't come with any other help, any other background, any other, well, let's support you. It didn't come with any of that. So you're thinking, gosh, you're not even saying anything to me. Mm-hmm. And then we had to go in. And the sad part is we had to go in and talk to them. And my son's sonogram was on the screen and they're sitting there and they're saying, well, this is what it is. Do you want to terminate? And I'm like, wait, we haven't even said hi. We haven't even had like a whole conversation. Yeah. And you see his picture, like, why on earth? What? Mm-hmm. And I think I just fell out crying. And I'm like, this is what you offer me?
Yeah.
Like, my questions coming into it was, can I still breastfeed? Mm-hmm. I actually feel like, what equipment do I need? Do I need a special crib? Like, I had no clue. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
And that's what you offered me. So it was just like, okay, we're out. And I remember asking them, like, can you hook me up with some other families in particular? Do you have a Black family that I can speak to?
Yeah.
And they were like, no, mm-mm. And I was like, what? So of course, you know, you get home and your Google is your friend. So you're Googling and you're finding this and you're finding that. And, you know, I found a wonderful group online and I found wonderful support at my church. And after that, it was just me planning and me trying to figure out what ifs and getting support, because you have a high where you're like, okay, we're going to do this. And you're like, oh gosh, what do I need? And like during the pregnancy, they said, oh, he has a heart condition, this and that. And I really, I have a strong faith. And I'm just like, really, God? Like, I don't do drama. <I'm> like, huh? Because they were like, oh, when you have him, you're going to have to be transported to this hospital. He's going to have heart surgery. I was like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
And later on, like a couple of weeks after, they was like, oh, well, what we saw is not there anymore. They was like, everything looked fine. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because you know I wasn't ready for that. You wanted me to fly? Like, you want what? No. So, and after that, it was like all good. And we've been learning every single day since.
That's really good. Good to know. I wanted to ask you a question since you brought this up, that the doctors informed you about it over the phone. I had the opportunity to attend a medical conference, and we actually got to sit down and talk with some new residents in OBGYN. And we were talking about some of the best practices. And one of them talked about having to call patients via phone. And we talked to them about, you know, maybe changing that way and making it a more personal thing, calling them into the office, because people really freak out over the phone, especially if you're not going to follow up with any kind of information. It's just like, I'm telling you over the phone and I'm going to make you wait 2 weeks to come in. You know, a mom that just got that news, it really, you know, could put a damper on your day. It can cause a lot of anxiety, depression, or whatever, depending what kind of headspace they're in. So what did you think about being informed over the phone?
I thought it was very impersonal.
Yeah.
And I wish it was a situation where when you're pregnant, you already know you have all of these appointments, all these test results, right? You already know your appointment's coming up. So while I had the test done, just make an appointment in advance so that I already know I'm coming to see you. So we can talk about that at that set appointment. Don't even call me to say, let's talk about your test results, because that sounds so ominous too. So just already have it on the books. And so when I come in for my follow-up, just go, okay, come on, we got to talk about this. But also get some training in talking about things in a positive manner and giving people choice and giving people a range of things of support. You know what I mean? Don't just talk about it all.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The whole thing.
Yep.
That would have been helpful.
I saw someone say, like, just say congratulations, you know, like, tell me congratulations. Right. Ask me those same questions you'd ask another mom. Like, what color is your nursery? Have you started buying clothes? Like, those kind of things to, you know, at least kind of ease me into it, you know? So I thought that was important. Let's go ahead and jump into one of our questions. Do you think people see Down syndrome or skin color first when it comes to your son, Anaya?
I think they see skin color first.
Well, good to know. I said the same thing when I answered your question.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I mean, I was like, well, how could you not? You know, he is black. We're going to see that. So, yeah. I don't know if they wanted us to go more in depth, but I'm like, I mean, even if I see a white kid with Down syndrome, I see that they're white, you know. I guess you can see it all together, but I mean... Yes. So
I think they see that first, because I think they're trying to, I think most people look and maybe are trying to pinpoint or figure out, because people look and stare and think, huh, what's something different about this child? So of course they're seeing the skin color. You can't, like you said, it's there. Like,
And I don't know about you, but especially in the beginning, I would be like looking at people like, do they have Down syndrome? I don't know. Still to this day, I cannot pinpoint if someone has Down syndrome or not. Like, I have a good idea, but, you know, every now and then some people slip by. But that just goes to show you that everybody that you meet with Down syndrome is totally different. Some people have attributes that you would quickly recognize and some don't, you know? So,
yeah.
Have
When
you
I recognized it, like I met a person at Staples at the store, and I recognized that her child did have Down syndrome, and I was just like, I have to talk to her because it was a black mom, and I couldn't wait. Like I was in my car, of course, social distancing, and waiting for her to come out, and then I was like, excuse me, and then she was just so nice and open, and I was like, does your son have Down syndrome? She's like, yes, and we were just so excited. So it's like when you do recognize it, you love to. If you can, you kind of read body language if you
For
can
sure.
approach. So,
Now all the time, Ryan and my husband, they're like, Kelly, go say something. Look, they have a kid with Down syndrome. Go talk to them. So anytime we're out now, like even if we don't have Cree with us, we're like, oh, hey, so-and-so, we have a child with Down syndrome too. It is, it's just like talking to an old friend. I love it. Family,
Right, it is.
Okay. How do you explain racial topics to your kid? And before you answer that, some of the questions will be about race. Some will be about parenting a child with special needs that is Black. Some may just be about Down syndrome in general. So the question again is, how do you explain racial topics to your kids at their age?
We usually just tell them right up front. If things are going on in the world and we have to make them aware, like these recent things, we explain what's happening because we went down to DC. We did a protest that included children, so we did want to make them aware. And I just kind of watch them as I'm explaining to know when to pull back and when to give a little bit more, because some children, while my little ones, my girls are 9 and 8, they're different from each other. So one might be like, oh my gosh, give me more information. The other one might be like, ah, this is too much for me. So you have to figure out what works for them. And then especially when they come back with questions, because a long time ago, and I want to say long, she's only 9, but my daughter, I think maybe she was, I want to say like 4, but she was commenting on the color of her skin because she was saying how, her skin is so dark and, other people's are different colors. And I'm like, oh, and for me, I like to address things as they come up because when people say like age appropriate, like if you're asking the question, then it's
Yeah,
appropriate.
that's a good point.
And not really about your age, so to speak. But I had to just tell her like, your skin is beautiful and, your skin is black and it's gorgeous. And oh my gosh, like I would love to have your chin and your hair and, because she would comment on dolls. She'd say, like, they don't have my hair. I said, look, your hair, I would love to have your hair.
Me too.
Every time I wash her hair, I'm like, oh my gosh, your hair is so pretty. I love it. And she started to embrace it. But it was like those things that you can't help that you think that some people want to shelter their children or say, oh, they're not exposed to this and that. They're exposed to things that you don't even realize just by walking out the door.
Yes,
So
yes, yes.
even in my surprise, I was just like, okay, let's handle it now because you have these questions. Let's talk about it. And let's talk about it in a positive light. Because we had to tell them also, like, we're protesting Black Lives Matter, but it does not mean that we have any hate in our hearts for anybody. You know what I mean? Like we're it, that's not the direct thing, the next thing that we do. No. This is just what we're standing up for. So,
I like the way you
and some
said
of
that.
them take it and yeah.
I had a little incident last week with Knox. Long story short, I think you saw it on Facebook or Instagram, but we were at a park. Knox and Cree were in the stroller, and it has like a little shade over it. And Knox kept wanting me to pull it down, and I was like, no, it's fine. And he was like, yeah, like we need to pull it down because it's making me darker, and people aren't gonna like me if my skin is darker. And I'm just like thinking in my head, like, where does he get this from? And like you immediately, I'm like, oh my gosh, Knox, no, your skin is so beautiful. And as a matter of fact, if it gets darker, it's gonna be even beautiful, like it's just gonna be so great. It doesn't matter if it gets darker, And so now he's walking around the house like, Mom, look at my legs. They're so beautiful. I'm like, yes, Knox, you are beautiful. But and I feel like I've always been that type of mom that has always said things about their skin because I know that's something that we have to do, Like, oh, I love your hair, I love your skin, Knox is so beautiful. Do it to Ryan, have done it to Ryan ever since she was younger, and I do it to Kree as well. Like, you're so smart, you're so beautiful, I love your skin, because I really do want them to love everything about them, especially when we live in a world that will tell them that their skin is not beautiful, that their hair is unmanageable and not professional, and all those kind of things.
that's something I think our non-Black parents don't really think about all the time, you know? They don't realize the things that they kind of
like have to say all the time. Like, we have to really uplift and encourage, like, every day. That's, like, a purposeful thing that we do with our children, because things in society will tell them that it's not good, that they're not good, that they're not enough. And all the way down to, like you said, their hair and their style, if they're representing themselves or their culture, they'll tell them that. So they have to come home to know that, you know, we got you. Like, this is what it is. And that's every day. And I've even, and it's so funny talking about this, because I'm remembering when my oldest was younger, and because she was lighter than me, I had people actually tell me that was not my child.
Oh, I believe.
Like, I had people, like, in the elevators, like, is that your child? And I'm like,
yeah, like,
oh my gosh, that can't be your child. I'm looking at them like, are you serious? Like, you're really talking to me right now?
Yes.
Just because she didn't maybe look like me, or her skin tone was different than mine. They really said that. And she remembers that and going, this is my mom. Like, what?
Yes.
So just imagine perception.
What she's thinking. Yeah. I've had that experience with Knox as well when he was younger. I feel like he was a little bit lighter. And people were just like, how? Like, Travis is darker. And I mean, you're not dark, but like, where did that come from? That must have, like, taken back in the family. I'm like, you guys know, even the Black people, y'all know that Black comes in different shades. So stop.
Various shades. Like, oh my, so many shades.
Yes.
Exactly. And I just, like, this is, and she started making a joke of it, because it happens so often.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so smart, and she was little, and she would just tell people, oh no, that's not my mom. You know, I'm adopted. And she was just like, crack up and laugh. Gosh. Like, really, what did you want me to say? So it was like a joke now. But even now, she's 22, and people may still make reference to it. Like, oh, you're light bright, or you're the inside. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
You would think it would get better. Or people say about kids' hair, like, what's wrong with their hair? Or they need to get it together. And, you know, like, just those little things that people may think are harmless. I don't know why you would think it's harmless, but you know, as a teacher, I've heard adults say that to kids, you know, like, oh, do you have a brush to brush up your hair? And, you know, like, when it's picture day and stuff like that. And it's like, listen, this is how we are. And she's beautiful, or he's handsome, you know? So we do have to deal with those kind of things. Let's see. One of our next questions is kind of general for special needs. How do you prepare and educate yourself for IEP meetings and special ed policy?
You know what? I ask a lot of parents that have went through it already.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm the type of person, I can read, I can research, but give me a real person with a real story that's been through what I'm going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can take more from that, because I love meeting parents of children that are older. Because I'm like, my son is 6. I have no clue what I don't know yet.
Yes.
So what advice can you give me? And I'm a person, you know, part of my local organization, I'll send them the IEP, like, hey, I'm sending y'all the IEP. What do you think? Anything in here? And I've had some great comments, feedback. People have marked it up. And this gives me a great way to go on it. And then if, you know, if they're mentioning something that I should know, of course, they're always mentioning it, then I go look it up and I figure it out. But I always need that help from other parents. I couldn't do this just on my own.
I agree. I'm not the mom that pulls out Wright's Law, the whole book.
Right.
We can represent sometimes, but really, I have enjoyed being in, like, smaller online groups about IEP and Down syndrome or whatever it is. And even just talking to some special education teachers, since I was in that profession. But I think that one-on-one, those real life stories really helped me go through, like you said, showing them your IEP, comparing IEPs, asking what questions should I ask, what services are you getting that I'm not getting, so that I can ask and get that in my IEP. What do you wish you would have done? Those kind of things. So definitely your community for me would be how I prepare for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's change it up a little bit. What's your favorite thing about Anayan?
Oh my gosh, that, you know, Anayan is like a sponge. Mm-hmm. But it's like those times when he gives it back is the like the most exciting times. Like I love it when, you know, we're having conversations with him and we talk to him mm-hmm. regularly, just like any other child, mm-hmm. and he gives it back. So like the other day, he does not like to be left out of anything. If I'm giving the girl cotton balls, he like, uh-huh. where's my cotton ball? It does not matter. Yeah. He likes to be included. And so the other day we were in the car and we were going through the drive-thru and I asked the girl like, hey, what do you want? What do you want? And then he points to himself like, I'm waiting for you to ask me. I'm like, I'm getting to you, but I have mm-hmm. to get the orders together in my head. And so I was like, okay, Nine, what would you like? Mm-hmm. You know? And in his way, because we can always understand our children, yeah. but he said he wanted a hamburger mm-hmm. and french fries. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, well, what drink do you want? And he said blue. Mm. Because there's a blue slushie. Oh. So when those things come, I'm like, oh my gosh, because I'm just so excited because
yes.
I know he understands. I know he listens. I know he pays attention. And he's like, give me a chance to tell uh-huh. you what I know. So yep. don't leave me out, because if you leave me out, mm-hmm. you're never going to find out. So yep. we have, it's like the child is like forcing the inclusion that yes. people should already be doing.
Yes.
So he's saying, include me, because I have so much to tell you. And if you don't, mm-hmm. you'll never know. And you won't think that I know anything. So
I agree.
I love that. I love that about him. It's exciting when he comes back or mm-hmm. he's talking about Spider-Man or he's like, he does the Hulk smash. Like he does it now. Like that's his thing. You know, when Hulk jumps and smash the concrete.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's saying those words like Hulk and uh-huh. Spider-Man. And it's like, and I love when people just discover how animated he is and how he's really communicating with mm-hmm. you. And you can figure it out. Like we went to speech therapy and he was trying to tell a therapist about Hulk and Spider-Man. And she was Aww. Figuring out. She's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm like playing charades because I'm getting it. I was like, that's it. Just
yeah.
take a minute to listen to him and he'll yes. show you like, if you don't get it, he's going to be like, okay, give me a second. Uh-huh. Where's my props? Like, let me figure out how to spell this out for you.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah, I love it. I
agree with that. Cree is a little bit slower on the outputting the information, because sometimes, you know, like you said, I'm telling him, I'm doing it with him, the same thing I do with Knox or Ryan, but he may not respond as I would want him to initially. But it shocks mm-hmm. me sometimes when he just randomly says like a 5-word sentence. I'm like, oh my gosh, where'd that come? Did y'all hear him? Oh my gosh. Like all of us have those opportunities with Cree. Even Knox, he's like, Mom, did you hear Cree? He's talking so well. I'm like, yes, right. Because we all get so excited when, especially when he says something that we didn't even realize that he, you know,
knew, right? Knew,
knows. Yes. Oh my gosh. But I would say the one thing that I really like about Cree is that he is just like, I don't know, it may be kind of stereotypical for people with Down syndrome. Everyone thinks this, but literally Cree is so happy. Like most of the time, I would even have to say 95% of the time. And me and Travis talk about this a lot. I'm like, Travis, do you really think so? Like that much? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I mean, even his teachers, everybody has reported that about Cree, that he's just so happy, so joyous all the time. He does get upset sometimes, but not that much, you know? So I really like that about him. He's just, he takes everything, like he's so excited to learn, like super excited. Mm. So I really love that. He loves one-on-one attention. And yeah. I prefer to give it to him that way too. With schooling, oh my gosh, Knox kind of interferes with Cree, and Cree is in the mood now telling Knox, you need to leave. He does not want his brother to take his shine or participate. He wants to do it by himself, you know, so he's picking up on that. let's see, elaborate on some of the differences in raising your child that doesn't have Down syndrome versus your child that does. What are some of the differences you can elaborate on?
I think it's just some of the differences in like teaching, mm-hmm. showing just how we maneuver and how we navigate. And I'm having to maybe ask my girls who don't have to have a little bit more patience mm-hmm. and, you know, work with him a little bit more and share mm-hmm. and show. You know what I mean? Because it's more of me telling them, you know, he's a little brother also. So yeah. It's like he wants to do everything that they want to do, but they're like, well, we don't want to play with you right now because we're doing, you know, we're doing this. And it's different because explaining to him, he doesn't quite understand yet. Yeah. Like they want their time. Yes. You know, they're over there, you know, washing hair and, you know, doing all these things. And then, you know, mommy can play with you or daddy can play with you. Yeah. Because I don't have any other kids. So, but I think it's just a difference in explaining, a difference in teaching. It all comes back to the same thing, but it's just the way that you do it. So sometimes you have to break stuff up with an IN and, you know, and they see it too, because sometimes if I put a rule out, like, okay, you get 2 snacks a day. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know 2 snacks a day. He's like, I'm going in his cabinet and I want this and this and that. While I can tell them 2 snacks a day because they can go, okay, I'm done. He's really like stubborn in that.
Yes, I get it.
So I have to do something different, which they look at like, really, Ma? Like you on his 4th snack. And I'm like, well, you just have to wait a second because, you know, I told you before, you know, he just takes a little bit more patience, a little bit more time. And, you know, that's it. And they're like, oh, gosh. But then, you know, they love up on him anyway. Yeah. So I think that's it. Just take different time, different approach.
I agree. It makes me think of that picture. Have you ever seen that picture? I want to say it's about equity and equality, and it's like 3 people standing on boxes looking so it kind of reminds me of that, you know, like we have to equip our kids with certain things that we wouldn't equip our other children with, you know, just give them what's best for them, you know.
Right yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Let's see, what are your hopes and goals for Anayan's next step in education? So right now he's going to the 1st grade, right?
He's going to the 1st grade. Okay.
So what are your hopes and goals for Anayan, you know, maybe while he's in elementary?
You know, elementary, I just really hope that he, you know, grasps the learning and able to communicate kind of his pace with the teachers. Mm-hmm. I would love for him to become more independent in that way. So we're working on like his speech and things, which is the big one.
Yep.
But in order for, sometimes I think in order for teachers to quite understand where he is, I would love to be able to help him communicate those things like, okay, well, wait a second, I need a minute, because he's doing that now. He needs a break. He has a like an assistive technology device, and he'll say break. Okay. He'll press the break button like, I need a break.
Okay,
so those things like that, like slow down a minute. Hey, I want to work with the blocks, I want to do this. So just more of the communication,
that's good
for me, because sometimes when it comes from the parents, administrators sometimes think, oh, that's just you. But I'm like, no, let him tell you, you know, let him show you what he, listen to him, because he is your student. You know, I'm your parent, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, but listen to him.
Yes.
So that's like really my goal for that communication to flourish, however it does, if it's spoken, if it's on the device, if it's sign language, if it's gestures, for that to just develop more so they understand what he needs, where he's at, where he wants to go, and not be clueless. You know what I mean? So.
Good. Let's see now. Okay, this was a good one. I answered this on my Instagram as well. So let's see what you would say. What is the best way for a parent whose child asks a question about your son out loud to respond? So how would you respond to, or what should a parent do if their child asks a question about your child out loud?
What should a parent do if their child? I would just answer. It depends on what the question was. I mean, I love teaching people and explaining things. So if I had a parent, I don't know. Oh, I've had people say maybe like, oh, why doesn't he talk?
Yep, me too.
And then I'm like, okay. I was like, okay, let's explain it to you both. And I'm asked the parent, like, you might want to join in so you can go ahead and explain it to your child too. But I'm talking to the both of them and just explaining the whole thing. You know, he has Down syndrome, which means he has extra chromosomes. So sometimes these cause different delays. It causes different things to happen. So one of them is his speech is affected. So what you can do to help, though, if you like, talk to him like you would any other child. Show him things. Help him. Teach him. That's how you could be a friend. That's how you can help. And then I'm sure after a while, you really won't have that question because he's going to figure out how to communicate with you. So,
I totally agree. I said, you know, if your child asks a question out loud, go ahead and find out the answer for them. I am a person that I really want you to ask me a question. I love answering questions about CREE or people with Down syndrome in general. And I think overall, I think most parents, you know, feel pretty comfortable in answering those questions, you know? And I think it's just a good learning moment for your child to see that it's okay to ask questions and not, you know, feel taboo if they see a person with Down syndrome or special needs to ask something, you know, about their world, because kids are curious, you know?
Different. And my kids have done that too. If we saw a person in the store that looked different, or if they saw like a little person or anything, and they would say, "Mommy," like, you know, I'm like, "Nope, that's an adult and this is how God made them." And, you know, it could be various factors, but that's what it is. But we don't stare. We ask questions and we learn, educate, and you make sure that, you know, if anyone's talking down about anybody, that you don't stand by for that. So we're all people. We're all human. So, and they're going, "Oh, okay." And so the next time if we encounter anyone that we've talked about, that we've discussed, then they already know. So they're like, "Oh, okay." So it's normal. It becomes normal, like everything else should be.
Exactly. I agree. Totally. What practical day-to-day things can you recommend non-Black people do to make, let's see, to be more inclusive of other races? So what practical day-to-day things would you recommend?
You know what? These questions are always a little different for me, because I feel like you have to already kind of have that. And if you're trying to, I would ask that you open up your circle a little bit. And because for me, it comes off as, I want it to already be in your thought process. You know what I mean? And if you're recognizing it as not in your thought process, then open up your circle a little bit. Think about the things that you've done to exclude people first. And then change those things. And then if you build natural relationships, if you build organic relationships, if you reach out in your community and you're really including everyone, all those other things will kind of follow. Because you'll be interested in who you meet. You'll be interested in your friends. You'll be interested in their life. If you have someone that's different than you, a different culture, different race, whatever, and that's your friend and that's who someone that you've met naturally, then you'll learn about them. You know what I mean? Because that's what it is. So it's different. It's different to say, "Oh, pick up this book," because I want you to do more than pick up a book. I want you to meet people.
Yes.
I want you to open up your line of communication.
I'm so glad you said that.
If you notice you have,
because that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. It's just about people. Like, if you open yourself up, you'll meet people in your church. You'll meet your co-workers, your children will see who you allow come into your home as friends.
Right.
You know, like, my children know that I have friends of all races and cultures, you know, and they see that because they see me in pictures with them. They see them come into our home, you know, so just make that something normal. Maybe even look at the church that you attend. Maybe look at some of the events that you attend. You have to just really, I know we say this word all the time, but you really have to be intentional about it. And like you said, it's not all about reading a book. Okay, guys, it really is not.
Right.
You can read 5 books. You have to put some action behind what you may have read. Okay. But definitely, I think it's about relationships.
Your heart too.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Okay, Mika, you know, a couple weeks ago, I got to take over another mom that has a kid with Down syndrome. I took over her Instagram page and I reached out to a couple moms about things that they would like me to share as well. And I got to some things and some things I didn't. So I wanted to talk about some notes that I had, and you can tell me your experiences with them. The first one is just about like disparities in healthcare. What do you have to say about those things?
Oh boy. I have so many experiences in that, just from me, myself personally, and from having my children. There's a definite, disparity in how we were treated. And I'll say, just trying to make a quick story, because our experiences are so current when people think that, you know, oh, these things happened a long time ago and it's solved. No, it's not. And recently, you know, I went in for something, you know, I had something bothering me, and I went in. This took like a couple of months for me talking to the doctor and saying, "Look, this is this is what's going on, blah, 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 and trying to explain my point when the person, the doctor coming back saying, oh, well, yeah, just lose some weight. And I'm like, but no, this is really hurting and this is really happening. And they would not, they just would not listen to me. Mm. All of my symptoms were valid. All of the things I was saying, I was trying to communicate. And this doctor, white doctor, was just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I ended up just getting, I was so upset. And it, after it kept happening, like after I was still going through this, I finally emailed the doctor and I said, listen, you're not listening to me because I'm a Black woman. And I told him that. So you're not listening to me. I said, Black women are the least listened to Black women in healthcare. When we say we have a symptom, you think that we're overreacting. Mm-hmm. You don't give us things that we need. Yep. And immediately he called me. Now, this is after months of me like going in. And I was like, why are you calling me now? Because I've called you out. Yep. Like, why are you calling me now? And I ended up saying, okay, never mind for you. I went to another doctor, same symptoms, same issues. And the doctor was like, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're saying. He told me some things about myself. And I was like, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then he actually said, well, and I told him about the other doctor. And he actually said, wow, that's ironic because this happens primarily in Black females. I'm like, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because the doctor was not listening. So that's like one recent big story that I like to share because it's like, this is happening now. People will look at Black women, Black people when they come to the doctors and be like, ah. You know, I don't, they're faking it or whatever. I've had people tell my child when she was younger that she was faking asthma. She was faking not being able to breathe properly.
Wow.
I went to several doctors. I've had so many history with healthcare. It's ridiculous. But I went to several doctors and come to find out that my child was only operating on one lung.
Oh, my goodness.
No other doctors were listening to me.
So they wouldn't even check that.
They wouldn't even check that. And I actually had a, and the thing is, I have a lot of friends in areas where there's a lot of white doctors that are prestigious. Oh, go to this doctor, go to this doctor. They're great. So I'll go to that doctor and that doctor won't treat me the same. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I can't believe they said that because they didn't treat me like that. And I'm like, yeah,
there you go.
They treated me like that. Yeah. So it's so in your face that I'm like, I can tell you lots of stories where this happened, but it's an issue because why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why are our feelings being taken in consideration, our symptoms, everything? Yet you want to say we are higher risk for some things, but you don't try to help us.
Yes, I totally agree. Why? I was so surprised that people were asking questions like, why do you think there are disparities in healthcare? Like, do you really think that? Why do you think that? Do you really think doctors would treat you less than a doctor would treat you less than?
I've had it happen.
Yes, it happens. I've heard so many stories. And one in particular, I was so shocked about, and I don't even know why I was shocked about it, but two moms, one white, one Black, same age, went to the same doctor, both have kids with Down syndrome. To one mom, the white mom, they suggest, you know, congratulated them on their birth or whatever. But the Black mom, they offered her to have an abortion. And when they found out that they both had the same doctor, it was unbelievable. So it definitely does happen, you guys.
Right.
I've gotten questions about that, and I just see it out on the World Wide Web. People are in disbelief that there are disparities in healthcare, but it's proven fact. There's a lot of research around that as well.
And then ask the mom. Ask. Hear the stories. That's what's going to tell you. Hear the stories. Yeah. And then send people to your doctor and have them give a report back.
Exactly. Hold on one moment. Let me read this. Okay. Let's talk about behavior and experiences you have had with people associating Anayan with behavior issues. Or because of his Down syndrome or whatever. What experience have you had with that?
You know what? Just in school, because in school, they'll attribute that to anything that happens. As far as like, Anayan used to climb under the table. Mm-hmm. And that would be always a report back to me. Anayan's under the table. And I want to say, well, what happened before? What happened after? How did you get him from the table? What were you doing? Mm-hmm. But you won't answer all those questions. You just want to say, Anayan is under the table. And I guess that's part of... No.
Yeah.
He's in kindergarten. Yeah. Kids go under the table.
Exactly. Okay?
He's either hiding from an activity or he's playing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I come in, and we had that happen, like, my husband was in the school dropping off something that Anaya forgot. And they asked him, come down to the classroom, come down to the classroom. Anaya's under the table. But as soon as he walked in the room, he saw Anaya on the table. And he was like, Anaya, get from under that table. And Anaya popped up, got on the table, got in the seat, got a pencil. And we're looking at them like, really?
Yeah.
You couldn't manage that? But you wanted to make it easy for yourself to attribute it to the Down syndrome so that you wouldn't have to do the extra work to try to figure out this child. Like, you have to figure out every child that you have in your classroom.
Bingo.
Because I'm sure during the year, you know children, and you kind of know, okay, so-and-so, they always do that when I put this assignment out, or every time we go outside, they have to have two sips of water. Like, you know your children that you have. You have them for the whole year.
Yeah.
So you're just trying to get the easy way out to say, oh, that must be, you know, his intellectual disability. That must be this, his communication. No, that just must be a nine. Just one going to the table, and he knows that you're not going to get him out. So he's going to sit there.
Yeah.
Until you do. And I had to start telling him, it's okay for you to say, come on to nine, or, you know, hold his hand, put him in the chair, and let him know, no, we don't do that. So stop trying to. And I had to tell the teacher, stop tiptoeing around him.
Yes,
stop.
Me too.
Stop doing that. Everything is not cute. Yep. You know what I mean? He's adorable little boy, but we're not going to keep saying, oh, but because he hears your tone.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows, just like all the other kids know, he knows that, oh, I can get away with this.
Yes.
I'm about to do this. They know it. So please stop underestimating his ability to fill you out and, you know how to push your buttons.
Yeah.
Kids know how to push your buttons once they get to know you.
Preach. So for sure. I want to share this letter that a mom wrote to me about her 5-year-old son. I'm going to read it and then we can share our thoughts on it. As the mom of a 5-year-old Black boy with Down syndrome, there have been struggles from the very beginning with the doom and gloom tone of the prenatal medical diagnosis to pressure to terminate, to the low expectations of support service staff, to most recently what I perceive to be the preconceived notions of the educational system of what my son will and will not be able to do. Many of these struggles, I believe, are universal to all families with a child with Down syndrome, but my son's Blackness compounds these issues even more. Typical Black children are diagnosed with ADHD at a higher rate in the school system. I believe they are prone to stamp this label on any Black boy who can't sit still for longer than a few minutes, or who doesn't respond favorably to standard learning methods. My son is very active. He doesn't sit still for long, so I've been holding my breath waiting for the inevitable day when his educators will want to slap that label on him, although I do not believe he has ADHD. I found that in the educational system, achievement expectations are low already for Black children, and because of such, I have to fight even harder for my son's educational team to see the value in devising an IEP that would guarantee his success. Educational goals should focus on his current abilities, but also challenge him to reach his highest potential. I am always fighting for him to be seen as capable. Transition to kindergarten from the security of a preschool setting where everyone knew and loved him, I had to make the gut-wrenching decision to place him in a self-contained classroom for kindergarten. While I believe this is the best decision for him, the constant barrage of messages that inclusivity is the best option for our kids makes me feel as if I am failing him. In society, Black boys are only afforded the privilege of being cute kids for a very small period of time before they are perceived as menacing. I worry all the time that we are quickly approaching that time where he will no longer be cute. And on top of his Blackness, that already disqualifies him for protection, empathy, and recognition of his humanity, is his disability that will make him even more invisible or disposable. Words could never convey the angst this reality causes for Black mothers. He is my heartbeat, walking, running, playing, singing, and smiling outside of my body. And my prayer is that the world will let him just be. When I read that, I was almost in tears. And I read it again today and I was like, oh, this is so true. So true.
Right. It is so true. And that's, I mean, that letter in itself is something that I would, I mean, if they want to share, I would give that to the next team.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, these are my thoughts coming in here. And I want to change the perception that you might have already had of my son. Let's work at where he's at. Let's push him to succeed. And we can only do that if we all agree that he's worth it.
Yep.
And sometimes you have to be that bold and call out those things that are not said, but that are silent in that room sometimes when you're sitting there, because you already know what they've written on the paper.
Yep.
You already know what they think so far, because they might have said a little bit to you. But when you call it out, it's on the table and it's ready to be talked about, and no one can hide behind the silence or hide behind, you know, just their look. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a huge proponent of just being bold. When things have to be said, say it, because the response to it is what's important. So if someone is just going to stop for a second and go, okay, you know what, you, just be honest.
Yeah.
Just be honest and say, you know, I was thinking that, and okay, now you've changed my mind. Let's see how we can work together, because people have to be real.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I like what you said about being bold, putting it out there on the table, because, you know, sometimes I feel like people are waiting on us to say something, you know, they probably know we're already thinking it, but why don't we just put it out there, you know?
Yeah. And just, and I've said that before when, you know, an administrator's tried to tell me what he couldn't do, or they had a perception of, you know, she's coming from preschool. And when he was coming from preschool, it was a smaller class. And they were like, oh, well, I know since he uses a smaller class. I said, stop. Let's go back to the class, the size of this school that he's come from, since you have a different thought process than mine. He was in the same, they had the same number of people. The class had hallways and bathrooms and everything just like you had. So don't act like where he's come from is something that he's used to, and this is where he's going to stay because, oh, he's used to this and that. And for, you know, and they looked at me like, I'm like, stop, stop. What would you do if this was your child?
Exactly.
That's a question.
If they could just, you know, put themselves in our shoes, you know, what, I mean, just that sentence alone, like, what if this was your child? What would you do differently? I know as a teacher, not even having a child with special needs when I was a teacher, I used to think that myself, you know, like, what if this is my child? What would I want the teacher to do? You know, how would I want the teacher to make my child feel welcomed? I remember my first year teaching, I don't know. Now I think it was just like God, but my first year teaching kindergarten, I had a student in my classroom that had multiple disabilities, but I was fighting for him, and so was my principal, for him to be in my classroom and not like a special education classroom. And the special education teacher, she wasn't really trying to be flexible with him. He was a Hispanic male. She really wanted to kind of make him fit her schedule as she bounced around to other classrooms. But when I tell you, like, I went to bat for him to be in my classroom full time with that one-on-one aid, I just saw the, like, that alone showed me the importance of fighting for our children, you know, speaking up for those that maybe silenced a lot. His mother did not speak English. So that alone just, you know, solidified that I had to fight for this kid. And I never regret it, but it gave me the power and the boldness to fight for Cree. So I feel like it was just like a part of the plan, you know? So definitely be bold. That would be something that I would say to the Down syndrome community in general, but especially to the Black community, be bold.
And say it.
Yeah. I was going to say, what is one thing you want to say to the Black Down syndrome community?
Definitely, of course, that be bold, speak out, use each other. Be part of the community, you know what I mean? Because we need you. And it's difficult when you feel like you're all by yourself, but just reach out, you know what I mean? Reach out and find the resources that are around you. But don't get discouraged, because we have a lot of challenges that we face simply because, you know, our children are Black and our children do have Down syndrome. And we have a lot of things that we can lean on each other for, because we share some of the same experiences. So, you know, even if it's, you know, a lot of people aren't that social, or maybe you're not on social media or anything like that, but do what you can to reach out to your local community and your local families that look like you, because there's so much in that family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because like I said, we share the same experiences, and, you know, talk it out and figure it out. And like I said, use each other, because I felt like come on, when, you know, they couldn't find a Black family for me. So I was like, I'm just going to go find my own Black family. Like, we're out here somewhere. And there's no stigma placed on our children unless someone puts it on them and we accept it. So, and for that mother that wrote the letter, you know, even if you're, and you know, I know inclusion is huge, but the more important thing is find what's best for your own child. Don't go by someone else's, you know, process or their perception or what even worked for them. Figure it out with your own child. If they thrive in an environment where it's smaller, it's geared towards them one-on-one, keep them in that environment. Find other tools. If you're trying to figure out, okay, I just want them to know this, you know, find other resources and things so that they can be where you would like them to be and you can push them. If you want them included, fight for inclusion, fight for whatever works for your child, basically.
Agreed.
Don't go by the norms, the standards, what people are yelling at you. Cause it's that's a huge, like, controversial topic. About inclusion. Yes, but you know, I think that's what hurts people the most, because you're trying to go natural flow is that you think, and it's comparison. What, let them tell you.
All right. As we wrap up our conversation, Mika, one of the last topics that I want to focus on that you've mentioned throughout the conversation is just local organizations. So I want to talk about local organizations and national organizations. Do you feel like you're getting what you need from your mainstream Down syndrome organizations, national or local? And if not, what do you want to see organizations do better?
Local, yes, because we have a local organization in Prince George's County where I live in Maryland, so I feel really comfortable. And of course, we can always do better because there's always a resource issue, you know, and outreach and things like that. So that's what we're working on. Nationally, I wish it had a more personal touch. It's kind of hard to say because they're a national organization, but I wish somehow, some way they could have pockets of that national organization within the state. So even though you have NDSS or whatever organization that's huge, have those chapters within your state, have those smaller things that people can reach out if they're like, oh my gosh, this is so big. Because in reaching out to the national chapters, like I have had conversations and things like that. But I think because you're so huge, you're not always paying attention to that one person who's reaching out to you. You're waiting to talk to the masses and who, you know, the most people you can reach out to at one time. And it might be beneficial for them to kind of put themselves in smaller areas so that people can have a more personal touch. And then it's easier for the dissemination of information because, you know, when you, I don't know, when you're looking on the website, you're getting the emails, you're just like, what? You're bombarded once you join a lot of things.
Yes.
So it would be great for that incorporation of a national organization within the smaller ones in your local community. So you can have that information as well as your local information, and it comes easily. That would be good.
Yeah, I like that too. I really love that idea. I wrote that down, actually. yes, I did. You know, since I'm volunteering for a national organization and I'm on the board, I like to share ideas. So I really like that. That's really good. I think that's something that has been kind of talked about before. Mm-hmm. But I know sometimes there's like a, I don't know how to say it. Not like a little riff, but I guess sometimes there could be parents feel like they have to be loyal to one or the other. You know, they don't want to cause like a rift between, you know, national organizations and the local, especially when it comes to like fundraising. That kind of can be an issue sometimes. So,
yeah, I've seen that too. But it's like, if we all work together, because we are working together towards a common goal. Our children have Down syndrome. That's a commonality that we all hold. And if we would just be in tune with one another more, then we can align those fundraisers to help everyone. Because I feel like sometimes, you know, if you have like a national organization, and let's say they're doing a fundraiser to support something on their end. And you're like, well, I'm doing a fundraiser to support on my end, but you're both trying to reach the same people.
Yeah.
Then those people are like, uh-oh, where do I go? Where do I go? Yes. But if you work together and, you know, sponsor one another, share with one another. If you have vendors that work for you, give them to the local organizations and vice versa. Like, share. Yeah. Like, how can
there's a way?
There is. It's probably a lot. There's a way. You know, they're probably like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? But there is, because if that helped,
yeah,
if that actually worked out, do you realize like how much information can get to so many people and how much resources and funding can be raised that can be shared through all? Because it really shouldn't matter like who holds it, because you're all trying to help the family. So
yep,
let's share it. Like it'll be so yep much better and we all be happy, and you wouldn't, it wouldn't be a tug of war like, oh, do I support yeah this, support that, because it's the same thing and yes all you're trying multiple to figure out layers who's gonna get support it quicker. Yes, that'd yes be great.
Yes, I love that. Multiple layers of support, that's what we all need. Yeah. Okay, so Mika, I have enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for answering these questions. But before you go, we have one last thing to talk about, and that is your amazing book. So I want to give you the floor. I want you to talk about what inspired you to write this book. I want you to share with our audience where you can find it and anything else you want them to know about it.
Oh, wonderful. So we recently published a book in April called A Friend Like Anayan, and it's pretty much a children's book about my son, Anayan, of course, who has Down syndrome. And the journey was so that, you know, because there's just not a lot, or pretty much not at all, any Black children with Down syndrome represented anywhere, that I couldn't find a book, like a magazine cover, TV, anything. And I just thought that was just wrong. Like, why can't I see anyone that represents us on any of these yeah things? So it's like when we support and advocate on Down syndrome awareness days or months, we want to be able to go into like the schools and educate people and bring some material along. And I didn't have any material that looked like us. And it was just like, wow. I mean, thank you for the material, but I need something representative of all. And it was so difficult to find. So I said, okay, we're just going to write our own book. And I believe right now, this is like the only book ever published on a Black child with Down syndrome. And I just wanted it, it's going to be a series, but I wanted it to show first, you know, community, because we talked yes about that, and how in your community, you can help each person that you see. And sometimes it's such a stigma when you have little children come in and they have Down syndrome and you don't know quite what to say. And you're like, oh, can I say hi? Do I do? Treat them like any other child. Yeah. And if you see any yeah other child that needs help, you help them. So that first book is just about all in a community, you know, how community reaches out, how they help, how we all become one. And just to put his beautiful Black face out there, like that's, that was the goal, to have something for us to bring into the various places that we go to educate and advocate for our children. And it was a long journey, because once I thought of it and I'm like, okay, I've never written a book before. So now I have to figure out how to write it. I got to figure out all these things. And I had some help. And I have been trying to do this for a while, but it just, you know, when you hunker down and do something, you're like, okay, this is what's happening. Yeah. It came to fruition, and I had so many people that supported it and helped. And once I published it, it was just like, I can't believe I just published this book. Like, even if I read it now, I'm like, I wrote those words. Like, it's, yeah, it's amazing. Because I'm like, okay, that's, you know, I'm not an author by profession at all, but I guess that's going to be my second profession.
You are now.
That's right. That's like I am now. So, you know, I've been doing a few book readings and stuff, but the book is now, it's on amazon.com. It's on Barnes and Noble, Books a Million. It's at Walmart. It's at Target online, pretty much anywhere books are sold online. And I'm doing a few book readings this month for one of our Maryland organizations. I did one for Gigi's Playhouse. I'm going to be featured on the upcoming author series in our local community. So it's like a lot of things that I'm so excited. And I'm so glad I finished it. And I'm so glad it's so much more to come that I can just show and elaborate on the milestones that, you know, he accomplishes and to highlight it. And it just becomes a children's book. And then, you know, so when children read it and they see anyone, and they already know, and it's, it's accepted. So
I love it. And I think you have inspired so many other moms just like myself. Hopefully we can all follow in your footsteps. And you know what? When you go to the library, it will be the norm to see
a book
with a child with Down syndrome.
I'm like, everyone write a book. Everyone write it. Come on, y'all. Yes. Like, Let's get it out there. Yes, this would be fun. So thank you.
Now tell us where we can find you on social media. If anyone wants to buy the book besides online, and they want to follow you on social media, where do they go?
So on Facebook, I'm Mika Caldwell, and I also have a Facebook for Adayan. It's Brown Baby 321. Instagram, I'm All in One Queen. And again, he has an Instagram, Brown Baby 321. And that's pretty much who I publish under our own publishing imprint, Brown Baby, because cool. He's a brown baby, and 321 is the third copy of the 21st chromosome, which is Down syndrome. And if you would like an autographed copy, which I do that for him, mm-hmm. You can just email Brown Baby 321. There's no, so it's no vowels in the email though. It's just brwnbby@gmail.com.
I love it. And Mika, on Instagram, Brown Baby 321, if they wanted to purchase go right to your purchase link, is your link in the bio?
Yeah, the Amazon link is in the bio.
Okay, but like you heard, you can purchase it from multiple places. I'm so excited that it's in Target. Like, that is my favorite store. So when you are doing your Target card, you can just add that book right onto your list and get it delivered.
Yes. That's what you're
you guys love that episode just as much as I loved recording it. Stay tuned for part 2, 3, and 4 coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm so excited to get a chance to talk with other moms on race and motherhood. If you have some questions regarding race, motherhood that you'd like answered, stay tuned to my Instagram page, Mama3KellyC. A couple times a week, I ask my audience if they have any specific questions. And if you do, you can respond to those little Insta story boxes. You can message me, or you can always email me at unmasteringmotherhood@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, guys. Don't forget to like this episode, subscribe to my channel, and most of all, share it. This podcast can be heard on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and many, many more places. So let's share it, get it out to the world. It's just a feel-good podcast, and I hope it made you feel good today. We're also going to be doing a giveaway for a copy of Mika's book, A Friend Like Anayan. Check out today's post for all the details.